For over a decade, we've been perfecting the perfect length, fit, and feel of shorts. Our shorts make every weekday feel like the weekend. Chubbies, proper length men's shorts. Use code AUDIO15 for 15% off your first purchase.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Nick Agar-Johnson. He is the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast and a writer and editor-in-chief for No Ceilings, as well as he's a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we recap the 2022 NBA Finals Series between the Golden State Warriors and Boston Celtics. Nick is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
5 on the 24. Williams looking for help. Curry takes him off the dribble, gets inside, layup is good. Oh, what a beautiful move from Curry.
Yes, he didn't fall in love with the three-point line, but uses his speed and quickness, gets by Robert Williams, and shields his ability to block the layup attempt. One of the best finishes we've seen. So.
Curry to Payton. Three-pointers, right side is good.
And they very well could win a championship, but not having a true orchestrator. Searching out mismatches, allowing Steph Curry to guard Jaylen Brown at last possession, Al Horford. You got to take advantage of matchups.
I mean, that's good defense. They've got 9 offensive rebounds already here in the first half. Curry sees some room, nails the three. Steph Curry, his second three-pointer.
How about Steph Curry? Gets White in the air, fly by, makes him pay the price. We're witnessing greatness. That's saying a lot. He's been all over the floor on both sides of the court.
Had a good game 5, but an excellent start here in 6. Steph Curry once again dancing and prancing in the paint. And a lead of 16, largest of the first half.
Delivery on point. How about Steph Curry? Dance, young man, dance. Flat out getting it done in the seams.
Clay Thompson on the bounce. The runner short. Rebound Wiggins. Four rebounds so far. Curry sidestep. Wide open three. Got it. Clay Thompson. Curry sidestep. Three-pointer. It's good. Steph Curry from downtown. And the lead back up to 19. Top of the backboard, which is inbounds, and Draymond Green pushing. Six assists for Green. Curry a long three. It's good! Steph Curry from way downtown! Some Curry chaos here in the third. It's the largest lead of the game.
I'm so proud of our group. I thank God every day that I get to play this game at the highest level with some amazing people. I mean, we do know this is what it's all about, playing for a championship and what we've been through the last 3 years. The beginning of the season, nobody thought we'd be here, except everybody on this court right now. It's amazing. Very surreal, though. Very surreal.
Indeed, it was surreal. Welcome back to the program, everybody. That audio was courtesy of the NBA, ABC Sports, and the Walt Disney Company. You heard ABC Sports' Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, and Jeff Van Gundy on the call of Game 6 of the 2022 NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics, when the Warriors, of course, Steph Curry, handled his business, scoring 34 points to secure his legacy and to win his first career NBA Finals MVP. To go over more of this 2022 NBA Finals series between the Dubs and the C's, we want to welcome him back to the program. The guy is phenomenal and still doing his thing. He is the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. He's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic, and he's the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf. Let's welcome him back, Nick Agar-Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the program, my man.
Ed, thanks so much for having me back. It's always fun to come on the program and talk basketball with you. And the NBA season might have wrapped up, but what an incredible finals. It was really fun to watch. I'm glad I got to be a part of it and glad I got to talk about it with you.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Nick, give me your takeaways from the 2022 NBA Finals series between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics.
So my biggest takeaway is kind of simplistic, that the Golden State Warriors are back, even though they kind of never left. But it is really strange that they have made six of the last eight NBA Finals. They've won four of them, but the 2 years that they didn't, the last 2 years, they were the worst team in basketball and then a team that barely even made it to the play-in stages last season. So really, the Warriors getting fully healthy, they sort of went back to being the team that they were in 2015, 2016, and they once again marched the title. It was certainly different than the first title and obviously different than the titles that they won with Kevin Durant in the fold, but this team is still dangerous, and it'll be really fascinating to see where they go from here.
This team is definitely still in their prime, Nick. Of course, the Splash Brothers won't be going anywhere anytime soon. And, of course, when you have Draymond Green, you know he won't be going anywhere anytime soon. He's the motor, the emotion, and the heart and soul of that team. Let's get right to the Warriors for a moment. Jordan Poole, I've said it many times on my podcast, and I've mentioned this to you as well, that this season Jordan Poole became an emerging star in the NBA. Klay Thompson didn't return until January. Steph Curry got hurt towards the end of the regular season. And right at the beginning of the playoffs, as Steph made his way back, Jordan Poole was emerging as a star on the offensive side and doing his thing defensively. Give me your thoughts on Jordan throughout this series.
I have rarely, if ever, been more wrong about a draft prospect than Jordan Poole. And after his first season in the NBA, where he shot 33% from the floor and 28% from three-point range, it looked like his future in the NBA was hanging on by a thread. And he spent a lot of time in the G League the next year. And all of a sudden, he comes back this year, and he's one of the most improved players in the NBA, someone who was in the race for the Most Improved Player Award. And he really was a dynamic addition to this Warriors offense, someone else who can create their shot at a high level. And he you know, worked both as a starter and off the bench, you know, coming off the bench mostly after Klay Thompson came back. But he's just another dynamic weapon for this Warriors offense. And especially after the way he played his rookie season, I think very few people would have anticipated that he would have come this far this quickly. But credit to him, he's clearly put in a ton of work on his game. And, I mean, it showed throughout the regular season and throughout these playoffs that he is morphing into a really, really dangerous offensive threat.
All right, I want to talk now about Kevon Looney. Now, we know Golden State, when you think of Golden State, you think of offense. You think of Steph, Clay, and the supporting cast. Kevon Looney was someone that did the dirty work in the paint, getting the second chance points and the rebounding for Golden State. Kevon really emerged in this playoff run for the Warriors, and particularly in the series against Boston. Give me your thoughts on Kevon and his play during the series against the Celtics.
Kevon Looney was a massive part of the Warriors' championship run. He was a huge part of their previous round victory, and he was, of course, a huge part of their win over the Celtics in the finals. And the thing about this Golden State Warriors team is, you know, they are, as you noted, famed for their offense, especially with the Splash Brothers up front, but they really won in these playoffs and in the NBA Finals in particular on the strength of their defense. And Kevon Looney was an absolutely massive part of that. I mean, this Warriors team isn't like the previous Warriors team that had a seven-footer in Andrew Bogut, you know, manning the paint a lot of the time. And the thing about Kevon Looney is he was often matched up against bigger guys, and it just did not matter. He absolutely pounded the glass on both ends. He was a huge part of the rebounding for the Warriors, and ultimately he did a fantastic job protecting the paint despite being undersized in pretty much every matchup. And it was just wonderful to see Kevon Looney play the way that he did during these playoffs and during this finals. He's someone who's seriously struggled with injuries over the past few years, but this year, he played in every single game, played in all 82 regular season games and all 22 playoff games for the Warriors. And especially for someone who's struggled with injury in the past, it was wonderful to see him out there on the court and healthy and really doing his thing. You know, he wasn't exactly a top-tier athlete at any point in his career, and he lost a little bit of his bounce after the injuries, but he's compensated for that by being just an incredibly smart defender, incredibly smart rebounder, and he was a huge part of the reason why the Warriors ultimately ended up winning the finals. I mean, he was a huge part of why their defense was as good as it was, not just in the finals, but throughout the playoffs as a whole.
Well, you know, speaking of an important piece of the championship run, Nick, Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, a former number one overall pick in the NBA draft, had some great seasons with the Minnesota Timberwolves, a rookie of the year, made the all-rookie first team. And it just seemed that he wasn't getting anywhere with the Timberwolves. 2 years ago, traded to the Golden State Warriors, and man, what an investment that Golden State got in return. He really came of age, particularly in this playoff run. Give me your thoughts on Andrew and his play in the series against the Celtics.
It's funny because, you know, coming into these playoffs, I thought, well, you know, Andrew Wiggins has grown a lot as a defensive player, but, you know, I'm not sure how big of a factor he's going to be in these playoffs. And he was the second best player on the Warriors, in my opinion, throughout the playoffs. I mean, he came up big every single time they needed him. He was absolutely massive defensively, especially in the Western Conference Finals and in the NBA Finals. I mean, he just took the toughest assignment, and he held his assignment to much worse numbers than anyone could have anticipated. I mean, he was a huge part of the Warriors' defense on Luka Doncic in the Western Conference Finals, and he was a massive part of Jason Tatum's struggle to be efficient in the NBA Finals. And I got to admit, I never would have expected that Andrew Wiggins would have been more impactful than Draymond Green and Klay Thompson in the playoffs or in the NBA Finals, but credit to him. He has made huge strides as a defender. He has gone from being iffy slash inconsistent on the defensive end throughout his early career with the Timberwolves to really being a defensive stopper and being a defender that the Warriors could rely on to take on tough matchups every single night. And I don't want to say that there's no way the Warriors would have won without Andrew Wiggins, because this is a spectacular team even without him, but I really do think that he was the second best player on the Warriors throughout this playoff run. And, you know, again, when they needed him to come up big, he came up big for them, and it's just been an incredible playoff run for him.
Well, Andrew indeed had an incredible playoff run. Someone that didn't have a great playoff run, particularly a great finals run, but he finished strong in the Game 6 clinching game, and that was Draymond Green. Draymond had a tough year, was hurt much of the first half of the year, but he did make the All-Star team. But similar to Klay Thompson, who we'll get into in just a minute, had to find his way back into the thick of things with the Warriors. Draymond, you know, he's the voice, he's the motor, he's the heart and soul of that team. Again, playoff run was suspect, but he came through in the clutch in the Game 6 closing game. Just give me your thoughts on Draymond and his play in the series against Boston.
So Draymond is the anchor of the Warriors' defense, and ultimately, while Andrew Wiggins played a massive part in their defensive success, and Kevon Looney also played a huge part in their defensive success, and Gary Payton II came up huge for them time and time again on the defensive end, their defensive success starts with Draymond Green being one of the smartest defenders in the history of basketball, in my opinion. And he really did struggle in a way that he hadn't really struggled quite that badly before in, you know, the middle games of the finals. But, you know, ultimately he did turn it around, especially in that Game 6 where he was a huge part of helping the Warriors to hold the Celtics under 100 points in that finals. And, I mean, you know, ultimately the Warriors, in their four wins, they held the Celtics to under 100 points in all of them. And when you talk about the Warriors' defense, it's important to mention how critical Andrew Wiggins was on that end. And Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II also played a huge part. And even Steph Curry, who has been maligned for his defense before, I thought played really solid defense throughout these playoffs and in the finals as well. But ultimately, when you're talking about the Warriors' defense, the conversation has to start with Draymond Green just, you know, being able to control the flow of the game on the defensive end. You know, even when he's struggling, particularly on the offensive end is where he usually struggles, he still provides an immense amount of value on the defensive end, just in terms of, you know, where knowing where to be, knowing where to direct his guys to be on that end of the floor. It's a huge part of why the Warriors were such a good defensive team this season, and ultimately their defense was just as important, if not even more important, honestly, to their playoffs and final success than their offense, because when you have Steph Curry, you're pretty much guaranteed to have at least a decent offense just because of the incredible gravity that he has on the offensive end. But the Warriors needed their defense to come through to win in these playoffs and win in these finals, and Draymond Green was, as always, a huge part of that.
And speaking of a huge part of the Golden State Warriors' success, one half of the Splash Brothers, Klay Thompson. Nick, what an agonizing and long 2 years it was for Klay Thompson. 2019, tears his ACL in the Game 6 series in the NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors, and then during an off-season workout, you tear in an Achilles. So 2 years, Nick, we saw no glimpses of Klay Thompson, and he mentioned in a lot of interviews that those 2 years were long and agonizing and very frustrating. Klay Thompson really found his way in this playoff run. Remember, he came back in January and basically played from January up until the finals run with Golden State. Give me your thoughts on Klay and his play in the series against the Celtics.
I'm just very happy for Klay Thompson, the human being, that he's finally healthy again. It had been, I think it was 900 days that he did not step on an NBA court for game minutes. And just for him to be able to come back at all from those two successive injuries to be able to, you know, get reincorporated into the team in January of this year, even just him getting back on the court was really nice to see from that perspective. And his first couple months, you know, as expected, he was a little bit rusty and, you know, wasn't quite the same Klay Thompson that we saw before the injuries. But, you know, over the course of the few months towards the end of the regular season and the course of these playoffs, he started to get back into a rhythm a bit. And, you know, I think there's still room for him to recover. I think his defense was a little bit lower of a level than the close to all defense level defense that he played before his injuries, but he really did come back for this Warriors team and play a huge part in their playoff run. I mean, he was just as lethal from three-point range as he's always been. I mean, 9 three-point attempts per game in the playoffs, 39% from three. You know, he still is a huge part of this Warriors offense and how they space the floor. And, you know, it wasn't just that he came back from his injury to still be a very good player, but that he actually averaged the most minutes per game of any Warriors throughout the playoffs, which, you know, Klay had been kind of an Iron Man before his injuries. And so to see him back and, you know, playing the most minutes for the Warriors of any guy out there, just being himself, you know, spacing the floor, making sure that he knocks down his open looks when they come to him, which is what he does. And certainly on a team like the Warriors, someone like Klay Thompson gets more open looks than they might, you know, somewhere else. So it was really just great from a human perspective to see Klay Thompson back on the court and healthy. But it wasn't just that, you know, it wasn't just he came back and sort of was a minor rotation player for the Warriors. I mean, he was a huge part of this finals run. And, you know, even though Andrew Wiggins kind of was the defensive anchor on the wing for the Warriors in this playoffs run, I think it's still within the cards for Klay Thompson to come back next season and be at least close to the kind of top-tier defender that he was before those injuries.
Yeah, I think next season Klay is going to be even better next year. As you mentioned, he can be close to being the top-tier defender that he once was. We know offensively he's definitely going to get the job done. I want to talk now about head coach Steve Kerr. There have been some great head coaches in the history of professional basketball with the likes of Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson and Pat Riley and, of course, Greg Popovich, just to name a few. And you could put Steve Kerr in that same tier as well. Give me your thoughts on Coach Kerr and the way he coached during this season, dealing with Klay coming back, Draymond coming back from injury, Steph getting hurt towards the end of the regular season, coming back and getting this thing together. And, of course, with the addition of the emergence of Jordan Poole, and then you have Andrew Wiggins. Just give me your thoughts on Coach Kerr and the way he coached during this season.
I think that Steve Kerr gets a lot more criticism as a coach than he honestly deserves. I mean, he has gone into the playoffs with this Warriors team and into the season time and time again with, you know, in some ways a consistent core of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, you know, as the anchors for this Warriors team. But in a lot of different ways, all of the parts around those guys have shuffled around in pretty dramatic ways. And yet Steve Kerr, you know, for the sixth time in eight seasons, made it to the NBA Finals, for the fourth time in eight seasons, ended up winning a championship with this team. And I think it's underrated just how difficult of a coaching job it was for Steve Kerr to figure out the dynamics of, you know, okay, Jordan Poole is really blossoming as a player, but we've also got Klay Thompson coming back into the fold, and, you know, we need to make sure that he gets ramped up enough that, you know, he's ready to go by the time playoffs come around, but also make sure that he gets minutes in a way that doesn't detract from, you know, the team chemistry in terms of Jordan Poole having a lessened role despite playing really well. I mean, he had a lot of different things to juggle with this Warriors roster in ways that I'm not sure many other coaches would have been able to figure out, just the human side of it, in addition to, you know, the coaching side of rotations and, you know, figuring out schemes on both ends of the floor. And Steve Kerr now has 9 NBA titles, which is pretty absurd. And he's won exactly 0 of those titles with the Lakers or the Celtics, the two teams that have 34 combined championships. And it would be really fascinating to see what people think about Steve Kerr's coaching legacy if he does end up getting to 10 titles, 5 as a player, 5 as a coach with this Warriors team. But this season might have been his most difficult season as the coach of the finals / title-winning team. Maybe that first season, you know, his first year as a head coach with the Warriors where they won the title, it might have been a bit more difficult, but I think that that team was a little bit more balanced, had a little bit more strength towards the back end of the roster. And this season, you know, they weren't as good of a team. They weren't as 67-15 team. You know, they missed Klay Thompson and Draymond Green for significant portions of the season, and they still managed to win 50 games and come out on top in the playoffs. So I really got to give a lot of credit to Steve Kerr for the exceptional coaching job that he's done with this team, you know, since the Warriors signed him, but really in particular this season, I think might have been his most difficult coaching job of any of his finals winning teams. And he did a spectacular job with, I think, a really weirder roster situation than I think many people are giving it credit for being.
Yeah, that was a tough season for Coach Kerr, but it ended with getting the Larry O'Brien trophy, considering all the things that we touched upon with Klay coming back in January, Draymond coming back around the same time, Steph getting hurt, and so many moving parts that happened with this season, and Coach Kerr gets the biggest prize at the end of the year, winning the Larry O'Brien trophy. You know, Nick, we talk about, well, I should say, what's not talked about enough is the front office and management with not just NBA teams, but a lot of professional sports teams. But the Warriors management, give them a lot of credit, the owners of the team, Joe Lacob and also Rick Welts, and also you could put Peter Guber in the mix as well. Joe and Peter are Boston natives. How ironic is that? And then you've got general manager Bob Myers. And let's give them a lot of credit as well for keeping this team together. Just a couple of seasons ago, Steph Curry got his extension. Klay got his extension, I believe, kind of right around that same time. Draymond got an extension. I know Andrew Wiggins has already said that he would love to come back to Golden State. Give me your thoughts on the management side of things for Golden State.
I give a lot of credit to the management side of Golden State. I mean, ultimately, you know, as fans of teams, we all would like the billionaire owners of the franchises to actually pay up for good players so that the team can be competitive. And, you know, all credit to the Warriors ownership for actually footing the bill for this team and, you know, not sort of falling off the wagon when the Warriors had that 15-50 season and not just, you know, having a fire sale after that really tough year and sticking it out. And, you know, that ownership group and all of their fans are rewarded with another NBA championship because they decided not to give up on this team after a really tough season and continuing to foot high luxury tax bills, which is something that not every ownership group is committed to doing. And really, that's all that a fan base can ask for ownership is, you know, make good hires, empower the people that you've hired to do their jobs and do them well, and be willing to foot the bill when you actually have a good team to make sure that they continue to stay good long into the future. So credit to them for that. And, of course, huge credit to Bob Myers. I mean, the 2019-20 Warriors team, you know, with Steph missing all but five games, with his injury, with Klay missing the entire season, with everything that they struggled through during that year, Draymond missing half the year as well, going 15-50. I mean, that was a team that looked to be in more trouble than I think people had anticipated, you know, after their previous run. And Bob Myers managed to work out the Andrew Wiggins for D'Angelo Russell trade, which was a huge part of them winning the title this year. They probably don't win the title this year without Andrew Wiggins playing the way that he did. And, you know, credit to Bob Myers for figuring out a way to turn what they had into something that would fit better in the longer term, you know, not just going all in on win now moves in that 2019-20 season, just figuring out a way to make sure that the team would be ready for title contention once all of their stars were healthy again. And sure enough, this year, once everybody was back and healthy, the Warriors made another charge to an NBA title. So again, huge credit to Bob Myers for, you know, sticking it out and finding ways to build around the edges of this roster. I mean, obviously Gary Payton II was massive for this Warriors team. And I mean, he was someone who was basically out of the league before the Warriors signed him. And he was a huge contributor to their success this season. You know, he found out a way to pick up Otto Porter Jr., who was not healthy for a lot of the playoffs, but was a pretty significant piece for them during the regular season. And certainly, you know, when he was healthy, he was a solid wing contributor for them. I mean, this Warriors team figured out a lot of stuff around the edges, and a lot of credit for that has to go to Bob Myers. And both of the rookies that they drafted last year in Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, they both had solid moments throughout this season, and they have a lot of room to grow. So, you know, even with the championship win this year, there are still some younger pieces on the Warriors, Kuminga, Moses Moody, Jordan Poole, who already talked about, who have a lot of room to grow. And I just hope that the ownership group continues to stay committed to paying these players what they're worth, to keep them around on the Golden State Warriors, because this is a team that could continue to be really, really good for a really long time, especially if Bob Myers continues to succeed at, you know, the players that he gets on the edges of the roster. Really, the big thing for the Warriors is just, will the ownership group continue to pay up? And if they do, I think they'll continue to have shots at titles.
You hit on some very key points, Nick. I want to stay with Warriors management for a moment. So our last dynasty that we had was the second three-peat of the Chicago Bulls. And we know how the management destroyed the nucleus of that team with Jerry Reinsdorf, Jerry Krause. And we saw what happened with how they treated Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. Of course, Phil Jackson leaves and winds up going to the L.A. Lakers. What makes this different, in your opinion, with the Warriors keeping that nucleus with Steph, Clay, Draymond, and you add Andrew Wiggins to the mix as well? In your opinion, what will make this Golden State dynasty different in terms of keeping that nucleus together as opposed to what happened in the second three-peat in Chicago?
I think it's just as simple as the ownership group is willing to pay for the team to be good. I mean, you know, ultimately, as you said, the Bulls dynasty fell apart because the ownership in Jerry Reinsdorf was not willing to pay for Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman to continue to be the stars of that team. And yet, as we've seen with these Warriors, you know, they're willing to actually pay their best players to be their best players and take them to championships. And I think the Spurs get underrated as sort of a quasi-dynasty themselves, but a lot of the Spurs' success was, you know, them just having this incredible team around Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. You know, their 4-10 guys were huge for them. And the Warriors have been pretty successful, very successful, really, in, you know, getting those kinds of players who aren't their big stars. But ultimately, at this point, I mean, I think it comes down to the fact that the Warriors ownership has shown time and time again, okay, if we are a team that is doing well, you know, a team that has a shot at an NBA title, we are going to continue to pay our players to try and lead us to that NBA title. And maybe that changes, you know, maybe the luxury tax bills get to the point where the Warriors ownership says, actually, we're not willing to pay that anymore. But certainly all the signs so far seem to indicate that Warriors ownership is willing to foot the bill to have their team be as good as possible. And, you know, ultimately, I think the only way that this dynasty falls apart is due to injury, which, you know, we saw the last 2 years when the Warriors couldn't stay healthy, they weren't a title contending team. But I mean, you know, it's not just the fact that they've got their big three. It's also that they have Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody and James Wiseman hopefully can come back healthy. I mean, this is a team that had a recent number 2 overall pick and 2 lottery picks this past season, and Wiseman didn't play at all, and Kuminga and Moody had flashes, but they didn't play all that much. You know, this wasn't a lottery team that was starting those 2 first-round picks, and they have a lot of hope for the future as well, especially if they can lock up Jordan Poole on a decent enough contract and he continues to blossom in the way that he has. I think, you know, going back to the Spurs point, I mean, they won in 1999 and they won in 2014. And, you know, that's a team that by 2014 obviously was a dramatically different team than the 1999 roster. I mean, basically it was just Tim Duncan that was, you know, still around anchoring that Spurs team. I think the thing with the Spurs and the Warriors that is similar is that those teams have shown that they're really good at working around the margins and, you know, getting role players that fit in with their team and really developing their young talent into players who can be future stars. And you know, not to compare Jordan Poole to the Splash Brothers, because I think he has a long way to go before he can be considered in the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson echelon, obviously. But, you know, the idea being that the Spurs would not have won the title in 2014 if they had not drafted someone in Kawhi Leonard who had huge questions about his shot, and, you know, they managed to turn him into an elite shooter and eventual finals MVP. So the Warriors dynasty will continue to some extent if ownership is just willing to pay up for their players, which they've shown they have been in the past. But I think they also just need to continue to hit on, you know, their younger players and their moves around the edges of the roster. And so far they've shown that they're able to do that really well also. And that, I think, is more similar to the Spurs than the Bulls, which were, you know, hugely driven by their star players. So I think the Warriors have a little bit more in common with the Spurs, honestly, than those Bulls teams. But ultimately, the Warriors dynasty is going to be dependent on their star staying healthy and ownership continuing to pay up for their good players. And then hopefully they can continue to have as many developmental success stories as they've had, particularly over the last couple seasons.
How could I not forget about the San Antonio Spurs, mentioned the Chicago Bulls, also mentioning the San Antonio Spurs as well. And you mentioned about the 1999 championship, also the 2003 championship roster. Of course, those two titles, 99 and 03, had Tim Duncan and, of course, David Robinson. And then from 03 up until 2014, of course, with Duncan, Parker, and then Ginobili. Then in 2014, you mentioned about Kawhi Leonard. Now let's get to someone that has been phenomenal for the Golden State Warriors since his arrival in 2009, Steph Curry. I mean, Steph has put together a resume, Nick, unlike any other. And it's amazing because he recently said in an interview that he feels he hasn't hit his prime yet, which is very strange because here he is, the greatest three-point shooter of all time. And on top of that, he's a multiple NBA All-Star, two-time league MVP, now four-time NBA champion. He finally wins an NBA Finals MVP, a two-time NBA three-point contest a shooting champion. I mean, he set the NBA record for three-pointers made in a regular season and also set the NBA record for career three-pointers. Steph still continuing to just do his thing, not just on the court, but off the court as well. Give me your thoughts on Steph and his run during the finals.
I'm really happy that he ended up getting the Finals MVP. I think that there are way too many people who criticize his lack of a Finals MVP as some kind of a hole in his resume, and now that hole has been filled, so people don't have to discuss that anymore. I mean, Steph Curry is a unique player in the history of the NBA in just how much he warps opposing defenses with his absolutely absurd shooting, his incredible handle, and his ability to basically pull up and score from anywhere inside half court. I mean, he's someone who you have to – he was really the first player who you had to sort of face guard as soon as they crossed half court, and he's really changed the NBA in a lot of ways. I mean, it was – the three-point revolution was something that was happening in the NBA before Steph Curry came along, but he really became the player at the forefront of that three-point revolution, and it is fascinating that he thinks that he hasn't even hit his peak yet. I think – maybe the argument for that is just that he's actually really grown quite a bit on the defensive end over the past couple of seasons. I mean, early on in his career, he was never like worst defender in the NBA level, but early on in his career, he was not that good on the defensive end of the floor and teams could take advantage of him. And, you know, especially in these playoffs and in the finals, teams tried to target Steph on the defensive end and it did not work as well for them as they thought it would. I mean, he has really grown a lot on the defensive end. So I think, you know, if he believes that he can continue to develop on the defensive end while still being the spectacular offensive player that he is, it's not unreasonable for him to think that he still hasn't reached his prime yet. And just as recently as last season, he led the NBA in scoring with 32 points a game, which was career high for him. So especially given that his game is so predicated on his shooting, which is something that, you know, isn't going to fade as he gets older in quite the same way that someone who relies heavily on their athleticism might sort of fade as they get older, I think that we have a lot left to see from Steph Curry. I'm not sure I'd go quite as far as saying that he hasn't reached his prime yet, but if he can continue to grow on the defensive end and continue to be the absolute force that he is on the offensive end, I mean, I could see it. I don't think it's particularly likely, but I could see him actually somehow getting better over the later years of his career.
I want to stay with Steph for a moment. I remember it like it was yesterday when Michael Jordan played in the NBA and a lot of kids would go to the playground or be in the backyard attempting to emulate Mike. They wanted to be like Mike. They wanted to dunk like Mike. But as you said about Steph, Nick, he's revolutionized the game where now everybody wants to shoot threes or play small ball, whereas opposed, as you mentioned about when Michael was playing and you talked about athletic ability and athleticism, everybody wanted to play above the rim. Nowadays, it's like people are kind of a bad – I mean, people still want to play above the rim, but you said Steph has revolutionized the game in terms of the three-point shot. Do you think you'll see more players coming into the NBA or even just not just the NBA, but just kids that want the opportunity to just play the game of basketball? Do you think that they will – have more of an emphasis on long-range shooting?
I mean, I think we're already starting to see that in a lot of ways, to be honest. I mean, you know, players are coming into the league like Trae Young, who are just bombing away from 30 feet and just warping defenses with their shooting ability from range, their ability to get into their three-point shot from 30 feet and out. I mean, I think Dame Lillard was really sort of the first adopter of the Steph Curry model, and nobody has matched him, and I think it'll be a long time, if ever, before anybody does match him. I mean, Steph's hand-eye coordination is just special, special stuff, and there's nobody in the NBA who hits quite that level, and, you know, his shooting ability is unprecedented in the NBA. But that being said, you know, I think the difference between someone like Michael Jordan and someone like Steph Curry is, you know, if you're a kid and you aren't sure that you're going to grow to 6'6 and, you know, be able to dunk from the free throw line, I mean, that's not something that very many human beings can do. But, you know, any young kid who's strong enough to get the ball all the way to the rim can shoot three-pointers. And, you know, I think that's really a huge part of why Steph has had such a massive influence on the development of players coming up into, you know, youth basketball and then eventually into the professional ranks, is that, you know, you can hope that you could dunk like Michael Jordan. I certainly would have loved to be able to dunk like Michael Jordan or LeBron James, but ultimately, you know, any player who's a high school basketball player can at least, you know, shoot three-pointers, and it's a lot easier to imagine, hey, I could be the 6'3" guy with an excellent handle and an incredible shot who can, you know, knock down jumpers from 30 feet. You know, there's a lot wider pool of people who can do that than there are people who can dunk from the free throw line. And I'm not saying that in any way to say that it's easier to do what Steph does than what Michael Jordan did. Just, again, I think Steph's hand-eye coordination is something special and something we've never seen before in the NBA. And, you know, even the guys who have come along after him who have similar three-point heavy games, like, again, Damian Lillard and Trae Young, you know, they're not quite Steph, and I think it'll be a while, again, if ever, before we see someone who's quite like Steph in that regard. But I think it's a lot easier for kids to see, hey, I could be that incredible three-point shooter, than it is for kids to say, hey, maybe I could be the 6'6 dude who can dunk from the free throw line and triple clutch layups and all of those ridiculous athletic things that Michael Jordan did.
All right, I want to stay with Steph again. One more question I have to ask you about him. He has yet to win an Olympic gold medal. He was selected to be on the United States Olympic men's basketball team in 2016 for the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. But, of course, as you remember, Nick, there was the epidemic with the Zika virus, so he decided not to go to Rio. Paris will be approaching in 2 years, in 2024. Will we see Steph Curry be on the United States men's Olympic basketball team and win that gold medal?
That's a fascinating question. The cop-out answer is it's really up to Steph. I think if he wants to be there, he will definitely get an invite. I think, you know, last time with Rio and this past Olympics with Tokyo, you know, it was health reasons that he didn't go. You know, it wasn't that he wasn't selected or it wasn't that he didn't want to go. It was, you know, there were health concerns surrounding both of those Olympic Games, and he decided not to go. But I think if he's healthy and if the Warriors, you know, manage to make it through the 2024 playoffs relatively unscathed, and he feels like he has the energy and, you know, lack of health concerns to be willing to go to Paris for the 2024 Olympics, then I think the U.S. team would absolutely love to have Steph Curry on the team. I mean, you know, we talk about Olympic Melo and how Carmelo Anthony's shooting at his size was such a massive part of the U.S. men's national team for, you know, the entirety of his Olympics run. And, I mean, Steph Curry's shooting and ability to bend the floor on the offensive end would just absolutely destroy teams in Olympic basketball. So I think it comes down to Steph and whether he's healthy or not. But, you know, if he wants to be there, Steph Curry will be on the U.S. Olympic team in Paris.
All right, and let's move along now to the other end of the court with the Boston Celtics. And again, Boston had a solid season going to the Eastern Conference Finals, beating the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, but falling short in the NBA Finals. I want to start off with Derrick White. Now, Nick, Derrick White was someone that had came up under the system with the San Antonio Spurs with Greg Popovich, primarily known for being fast and his known for being quick on the defensive side. Give me your thoughts on Derrick and his play during the series.
Derrick White was huge for the Celtics throughout the playoffs. Ever since they traded for him, he's just been another defensive weapon for them. And you're kind of like the Warriors, this Celtics team really made it as far as they did in the playoffs on the strength of their defense, which, you know, from January 1st on, the Celtics had by far the best defense in basketball. And, you know, the trade for Derrick White really bolstered their backcourt defense. I mean, when you talk about a team that has, you know, current defensive player of the year holder Marcus Smart in the backcourt as a defender, and when you have guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on the wing who can defend like they do, and, you know, having big men inside like Al Horford, Grant Williams, and Robert Williams, I mean, that is a really solid defensive core, just those guys right there. But Derrick White really helped the Celtics defense turn up to another level. You know, he was someone who would work really well with Marcus Smart as a backcourt defender. And, you know, Derrick White did struggle a bit on the offensive end, both during the regular season and particularly in the playoffs. But ultimately, I mean, his defensive impact was just massive for the Celtics team. And, you know, even though it wasn't enough to get them to an NBA championship, you know, I think that the trade for Derrick White in the middle of the season was a huge boost to the Celtics defense. And he really helped them get to the ultimate stage of the NBA Finals.
I want to move along now to someone that you mentioned earlier, and that's Robert Williams. Robert came of age this season, making the NBA All-Defensive second team, and he emerged in this playoff run for the Celtics, particularly in the finals. I mean, blocking one shot after another, getting rebounds, really getting the points in the paint for the Seas, getting those second-chance points. Give me your thoughts on Robert and his play during the series against the Warriors.
Robert Williams had an exceptional season, and I mean, he's someone who is a really fascinating player, just in the sense that he is, you know, a defensive menace, as you mentioned, all defensive team, you know, almost averages double-double during the regular season, but he's also a really, really good passer, especially for his position. And, you know, even though he's not exactly a massive scoring threat, I mean, he converts when he gets shots. You know, he's at 73% field goal percentage for his career, which is a ridiculous number for any player. I mean, pretty close to the NBA record basically every year for Robert Williams. And he was injured throughout these playoffs, and, you know, credit to him in the sense that he tried to tough it out and play through it. Hopefully that's not something that affects him in the longer term, but, you know, it was clearly affecting him throughout the playoffs and throughout the finals. And, you know, again, hopefully this isn't something that hurts him in the longer term, but him toughing it out, I think, gave Boston a chance. You know, without him playing at all, I think that they would have struggled even more than they did, just given how much they missed his defensive impact and also his ability to affect the offense by, you know, keeping the ball moving, making great passes. So I really hope that he comes back healthy next season, because after his breakout year this year, I think it's really in the cards for him to become a really special player and someone who stays on those all-defensive teams for years and years to come.
All right, and now let's talk about a veteran in Al Horford. Man, you talk about being solid and being dependable and being durable. Al Horford, this was his second run. Well, I should say this is his second run with the Boston Celtics, a man who's been a multiple all-star, someone that's made an all-rookie first team, also an all-defensive second team. Al Horford hit some big shots for the Celtics during their postseason run. Give me your thoughts on Al's play in the series against the Warriors.
Wow. I don't think the Celtics win game one without Al Horford. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, he had a massive game for them. He hit 6 three-pointers, 26 points, was a huge part of why the Celtics went on a massive run in the fourth quarter of that game one. And, you know, when you're talking about Al Horford, I mean, he's someone who I think will be massive to the Celtics, not just in terms of, you know, how he continues to play, you know, averaging 36 minutes a game, starting every game, being a huge part of their defensive impact, you know, really helping them out on the glass on both ends of the floor. You know, it's not just that. Also the fact that I think, you know, he is someone who can really help Robert Williams along with his development. I mean, I can think of few veteran big men in the NBA who would be better to learn from than, you know, Al Horford, multiple-time All-Star, All-NBA player, someone who, you know, isn't, I don't think, a Hall of Famer, but someone who's a lot closer, I think, to being a Hall of Famer than many people think, definitely in this sort of hall of quote-unquote very good, like guys who were incredible players throughout their careers who weren't quite Hall of Fame caliber players. But, I mean, it would be hard to find a better mentor for Robert Williams in terms of just continuing to develop his exceptional defensive game, continue to develop his incredible passing touch as a big man. I mean, Al Horford is, you know, I don't want to diminish Al Horford at all in the sense that he's still a very, very valuable player right now, but he's also someone who I think will be huge for the development of the Celtics team longer term. I mean, he was the only player on the roster who got playoff minutes that was over the age of 30, right? I mean, he's the veteran of this team, someone who's been in Boston before, who's had success with Boston before, and was a huge part of getting them to the finals, and then was really, I think, the deciding factor in their game one victory. So I think this final series might have looked a bit more lopsided if Al Horford hadn't played incredible basketball the way he did throughout these finals.
I agree with you, Nick. Al was definitely a huge difference maker in this postseason run for the Celtics. I want to move along now to Marcus Smart, the reigning defensive player of the year. Marcus is defense personified, and he is hustle personified. And I tell you one thing, he was big in this playoff run for the Celtics. Give me your thoughts on Marcus and his play in the series against the Warriors.
So, you know, Marcus Smart is someone who just wreaks havoc on the defensive end. You know, as you mentioned, he personifies hustle. You know, if there's any loose ball, he's going to try and find a way to get to it. You know, he's someone who is willing to switch out onto anyone. Some of my favorite Marcus Smart defensive possessions are when a 7-footer tries to post up 6'4" Marcus Smart, and it never quite goes the way that they think it will. I mean, he is someone who just absolutely digs in on the defensive end. He's so solid for his size. It's impossible to move him, even when, you know, he's giving up pounds and inches to a much bigger player in the post. And, you know, on top of that, he was also the Celtics' third leading scorer throughout these playoffs. And, you know, there were times that he struggled with his offensive game, certainly, but, you know, he was a huge part of the scoring punch for the Celtics. He also was second on the team in assists, you know, kept the ball moving. He didn't end up developing, I think, quite like a quote-unquote traditional point guard, but he's someone who makes the right reads with his passes, who has a solid enough offensive game that he can, you know, contribute, be average to above average on the offensive end. And, I mean, defensively, he's just someone who's impossible to plan around and who makes things incredibly difficult on opposing offenses every night. And allows the rest of the Celtics to be their best selves on the defensive end. I mean, the incredible defense that we've seen from Robert Williams and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, Marcus Smart really helps enable a lot of that by covering up a lot of holes for the Celtics. You know, whenever there's a gap, Marcus Smart is there to fill it, and it makes a huge difference for this Celtics squad. So, you know, even though he actually, I think, doesn't get enough credit for actually being the third leading scorer on the Celtics roster, he just fills so many holes for them on the defensive end that he's always going to make a massive positive impact.
I want to talk now about, you mentioned his name earlier, Jaylen Brown. What a playoff run it was for him, and particularly he stepped up in a major way in the final series against the Golden State Warriors. Jaylen Brown, he played a lot of minutes in this series. We talked the last time I had you on the show, Nick, we talked about Jimmy Butler and his endurance in playing in the series, not just against the Boston Celtics, but just overall in his career. His endurance and his conditioning is what makes him one of the best in the league. Jaylen's conditioning really, his conditioning was through the roof in this series against the Golden State Warriors. He played a lot of minutes. Give me your thoughts on Jaylen and his play against the Warriors.
Jaylen had a really good series against the Warriors, and I think it'll kind of go under the radar just because, you know, the Warriors ended up winning the finals. But, I mean, you mentioned the conditioning. He averaged 38 minutes a game throughout the playoffs. He oftentimes was stuck with really tough defensive assignments and oftentimes was asked to create off the dribble, which isn't exactly his strong suit, but I think he's a lot better at creating off the dribble than some people give him credit for. You know, he had a really tough haul as, you know, someone who was kind of leaned on maybe a bit more heavily than people expected, particularly in the finals, where Jason Tatum did not have his greatest playoff series in these NBA finals. But, you know, Jaylen Brown really helped keep the Celtics alive throughout this series. And certainly he struggled at times. I mean, the whole Celtics roster really struggled with turnovers, and Jaylen Brown was, you know, not exactly exempt from the turnover struggles. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, he and Jason Tatum showed that their wing duo is, you know, good finals caliber. I mean, they made it to the NBA Finals. And certainly with this Celtics team, given how dramatically better they were from January onward as opposed to the early part of the season, there's a lot of hope for next year. I mean, there's a very, very good chance that this Celtics team is the Eastern Conference champion again next season. And, you know, maybe they have a better shot at winning a title next year than they did this year. But ultimately, Jaylen Brown was a huge contributor for the Celtics on the defensive end. And he has blossomed so dramatically on the offensive end from where he was his first season in the league to where he is now. You know, this is his third straight year averaging 20 points a game, which was certainly not something that I expected to come around as quickly as it has. So his offensive development has been really huge for this Celtics team, both in terms of this season and in terms of projecting out for the future. And it'll be really interesting to see where he goes from here. But I think that he might have not gotten enough credit for how good he was on the offensive end, and maybe a little bit too much in terms of people detracting from him in terms of his relatively minor struggles compared to just how huge of a piece he was for the Celtics offensively.
All right, and speaking of being a huge piece for the Boston Celtics, what a first year at the head coaching position for Ime Udoka. Ime picked up a lot of that toughness and defensive skill under the San Antonio Spurs coaching system when he was an assistant under Greg Popovich. Give me your thoughts, Nick, on Coach Udoka's first year with the Celtics.
Ime Udoka had a spectacular first season coaching for the Boston Celtics. And, you know, I've mentioned it more than a few times of just how dramatically they turned their season around at the start of 2022. And, you know, there were people earlier in the season who were calling for Ime Udoka's job. And it was just incredible how thoroughly and dramatically this team turned around. And, you know, a lot of the credit for that has to go to the players, but a huge amount of credit for that has to go to Ime Udoka, you know, figuring out how to turn the season around for this team, you know, getting them all really bought in on the defensive end to the point where they were the best defense in the league from January onward. I mean, he's someone who, you know, he took a few lumps in terms of coaching at the beginning of the season. But, I mean, by the end of the year, he had absolutely turned the Celtics team around, particularly on the defensive end. But, you know, this is a team that was below 500 and on the outside looking in of the guaranteed playoff picture in the Eastern Conference at the start of 2022. And from that point onward, the Celtics team just looked fully bought in and crisp on every rotation and just so solid defensively, in addition to, you know, improving on the offensive end as well. But really, I think the major part of the turnaround for the Celtics was just their exceptional defense starting in January of this year. And Ime Udoka needs to get a ton of credit for just how dramatic that turnaround was for this Celtics team. I mean, this is someone who came in as a rookie head coach in the NBA and, you know, was struggling to start the season. The team was struggling and everything just dramatically turned around. And that's, you know, that's something that's really difficult for veteran head coaches to do. And Ime Udoka managed to do that in his first season as a head coach in the NBA. Just spectacular year for him. And clearly he has a very bright future as a head coach in the NBA.
All right, and speaking of a very bright future, Jason Tatum. Jason, influenced by Kobe Bryant, and we've seen glimpses of the Mamba mentality throughout his career so far. We didn't see a lot of that Mamba mentality during the final series against the Golden State Warriors, but nevertheless, the future is bright for Jason Tatum, a multiple NBA All-Star, also an Olympic gold medalist. Give me your thoughts on Jason and his play in the finals against the Warriors.
I think that this finals experience will be really important for Jason Tatum's career because this, I think, was, you know, the highest expectations of Jason Tatum that anyone's had heading into the final series. I mean, he was so good during the first three rounds of the playoffs for the Boston Celtics that, you know, there were some people who thought, you know, do we need to consider Jason Tatum as a top 10 NBA player, maybe even top 5 NBA player? I mean, that's how spectacular Jason Tatum was through the first three rounds of the playoffs. And then the finals came around and, you know, the Warriors, I mean, credit to them and credit to Andrew Wiggins in particular, they just walled off Jason Tatum anytime he got into the paint. I mean, he was really inefficient from two-point range. He did knock down almost 40% of his three-pointers, so, you know, he continued to be a long-range threat for the Celtics, but he really struggled with the Warriors' defense, particularly once he got inside the arc. And, you know, it wasn't like he, you know, wasn't helpful for the Warriors. I mean, wasn't helpful for the Celtics. I mean, he's still someone who's a star-caliber player, you know, all-star, all-NBA-type guy, but I think this finals experience will be a really good learning experience for Tatum because he had some really good flashes. You know, he still put up 22 points a game, 7 assists per game, 7 rebounds per game, but he really struggled with the Warriors' defense, particularly inside the arc. And I think, you know, going into this offseason, he's probably going to work a bit on his mid-range game. He's probably going to work at breaking guys down off the dribble a bit, but there were some positives for him. You know, it wasn't like he just completely disappeared in the finals, but his performance in the finals was not up to the standards that he set during the first three rounds of the playoffs. And I think that it'll be a really valuable learning experience for him. I mean, he's been, you know, in the playoffs and in conference finals basically his entire career up to this point, but this is his first finals run with the Celtics team. And, you know, even though there were some positive flashes for him, I think he also really struggled. And I mean, the Celtics as a whole, turnovers really hurt them during this finals run. And Jason Tatum was the main culprit in terms of the turnover issues. So, you know, I think he has some areas of his game that he could clean up a bit. But ultimately, I think that my biggest takeaways about Jason Tatum will be predicated on just how spectacular he was during the first three rounds of the playoffs rather than his sort of up and down finals performance.
What do you think he needs to work on during the off season, just in terms of increasing his upper body strength? Or do you think it's just more of just the basketball and a mental perspective for him?
I think certainly, you know, improving his upper body strength would help on that front. I think really the biggest thing for him is just, you know, working on his handle. It's, you know, he has a very good handle for a wing of his size, but ultimately the biggest things that he struggled with during the finals were his ability to score inside the arc, to, you know, get to the rim, finish efficiently, get to his mid-range shots, and then just turning the ball over a ton. And, you know, I think that some of that is definitely mental, and I think the experience of having been in the NBA Finals will help the mental side of it for him. But I think him really just working on tightening up his handle, you know, I think that's something that Jaylen Brown could really work on as well. But ultimately, you know, the Celtics were sunk in these finals with poor offensive performances and turnover-happy offense overall. So I think that the main thing for Jason Tatum to work on this offseason will just be, you know, keeping his handle, making sure he's not, you know, throwing the ball away on errant passes. So I think that, you know, his handle and his ability to score inside the arc were the things that sunk him in these finals. And he's someone who's normally a really good finisher around the basket. So I guess I'm less worried about the scoring aspect of it than I am about him just, you know, being better at not turning the ball over, because turnovers really did sink the Celtics in these finals.
Do you think he has the potential to be the superstar that was predicted for him when he first got drafted, or do you think it will kind of be they will split that status between him and Jaylen Brown?
I think that he kind of already is a superstar in my mind. I mean, you know, he's been on two All-NBA teams. He was on the All-NBA first team. You know, he's someone who's already up there in terms of one of the best players in the league, but he's not quite MVP status yet. I mean, he was sixth in MVP voting this past season, and I think, you know, if he can clean up his game a bit in terms of turn the ball over a bit less, you know, especially over the past couple of years, he's shown dramatic developments as a passer and creator for others. So I think if Jason Tatum continues to work on his game with the ball in his hands, you know, I think there's still more room for him to tap in terms of his potential, but he's already kind of knocking on the door of superstardom. I mean, when you make an All-NBA first team, you know, you're among the elite of the elite in the NBA, in my mind at least. So I think he's pretty much cemented himself in sort of superstar territory, but he's not quite in MVP contention yet. So I think he can get there, but I don't think he's quite there yet. But in terms of him being the superstar, I think he's already confirmed in my mind anyway that he is.
And you heard it from him. He is Nick Agard-Johnson. He is the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and he's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic and the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf. Again, Nick, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you do at those various outlets.
Absolutely. So thanks again for having me on. Always fun to chat basketball with you. So in terms of various platforms, as you mentioned, I'm the editor-in-chief and a writer for No Ceilings NBA. And then in terms of where you can find my work and where you can find, you know, the places that I write for, so No Ceilings NBA, at No Ceilings NBA on Twitter, and NoCeilingsNBA.com, as well as NoCeilingsTV on YouTube. And then Hashtag Basketball, the main work I'm doing for Hashtag Basketball right now is, as you mentioned, co-hosting the NBA Deep Dives podcast with my Hashtag Basketball and NoCeilingsNBA colleague, Tyler Metcalf. And then in terms of Nets Republic, you can find Nets Republic at Nets Republic on Twitter and NetsRepublic.com. And then Hashtag Basketball is at #basketball on Twitter and #basketball.com for the website.
Awesome. And tell everybody, Nick, where they can find you on social media, as well as Hashtag Basketball, Nets Republic, No Ceilings NBA, as well as the NBA Deep Dives podcast, and any websites that you want to promote, let the listeners know that as well.
For sure. So the main website for me to promote right now is No Ceilings NBA. Again, we're ramping up to the draft on Thursday, so a ton of good content coming out over at NoCeilingsNBA.com and at No Ceilings NBA on Twitter. hashtag basketball at #tbasketball on Twitter and hashtag basketball.com for all of your fantasy basketball needs for next season. And also the hashtag network, you have hashtag baseball and a whole lot of other great fantasy content coming out over on the hashtag network. And then the NBA Deep Dive podcast, which we will have an episode tomorrow previewing the draft, and then an episode early next week to sort of wrap up the draft. And then Nets Republic at Nets Republic on Twitter and NetsRepublic.com. And then you can find me on Twitter at NBAJOHNFON. And I post all of my work on my Twitter feed at some point or another. So all of my written work, any podcasts I happen to be on, and of course this interview with you will go up on my Twitter feed. So you can check me out there.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He's Nick Agar-Johnson. He's an editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. Also, he is a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic and the co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf. Nick, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Thanks so much again for having me and looking forward to hopefully coming back on the show in the future.
Awesome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Boy, these Warriors are ready to celebrate. And that'll do it. It's over. The Golden State Warriors return to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world. The fourth title in 8 years. The Dubs dynasty is still very much alive. A spectacular finish to another spectacular career for Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and both members of the Celtics and the Warriors showing their respect after a hard-fought six games. It's really one of the heartwarming scenes every year on this night. These incredibly talented athletes, wildly successful young men, acting with the joy and happiness of a child when they finally win it. All the hard work, all the sacrifice has paid off as they reach the goal. And knowing that they didn't do it alone, they did it together. This accomplishment, a bond that they'll have for the rest of their lives, and for a number of these Warriors, their fourth championship.
And now the Golden State Warriors. Six NBA Finals in 8 years. Four NBA championships. A remarkable run by any measure that only a handful of teams in the history of NBA have accomplished. To Joe Lacob, to Peter Guber, to Coach Kerr, to Bob Myers, to all you great players, the coaches, and the entire Golden State Warriors organization, congratulations. You are the 2022 NBA champions.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
It's another hurricane season, And right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
Everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, co-host of the NBA Deep Dives podcast with Tyler Metcalf, also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings. He's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Again, recap the 2022 NBA Finals series between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.